Chapter 26. Would never disclose, not even to those that loved it most. While he talked, Nina's head had been gradually sinking lower, and her face almost touched his now. Her hair was over his eyes, her breath was on his forehead, her arms were about his body. No two beings could be closer to each other, yet she guessed, rather than understood the meaning of his last words, that came out after a slight hesitation in a faint murmur, dying out imperceptibly into a profound and significant silence. He see, oh Nina, is like a woman's heart. She closed his lips with a sudden kiss, and answered in a steady voice, but to the men, that have no fear, oh master of my life, the sea is ever true. Over their heads a film of dark, thread-like clouds, looking like immense cobwebs drifting under the stars, darkened the sky with the presage of the coming thunderstorm. From the invisible hills the first distant rumble of thunder came in a prolonged roll which, after tossing about from hill to hill, lost itself in the forests of the Pantai. Dane and Nina stood up, and the former looked at the sky uneasily. It is time for Babalichai to be here, he said. He night is more than half gone. Our road is long, and a bullet travels quicker than the best canoe. He will be here before the moon is hidden behind the clouds, said Nina. Heard a splash in the water, she added. Did you hear it too? Alligator, answered Dane shortly, with a careless glance towards the creek. He darker the night, he continued, the shorter will be our road. For then we could keep in the current of the main stream, but if it is light even no more than now we must follow the small channels of sleeping water, with nothing to help our paddles. Dane, interposed Nina, earnestly, it was no alligator. I heard the bushes rustling near the landing place. Yes, said Dane, after listening a while. He cannot be Babalatchi, who would come in a big war canoe, and openly. Those that are coming, whoever they are, do not wish to make much noise. But you have heard, and now I can see, he went on quickly. He is but one man. Stand behind me, Nina. If he is a friend he is welcome, if he is an enemy you shall see him die. He laid his hand on his kris, and awaited the approach of his unexpected visitor. The fire was burning very low, and small clouds precursors of the storm, crossed the face of the moon in rapid succession, and their flying shadows darkened the clearing. He could not make out who the man might be, but he felt uneasy at the steady advance of the tall figure walking on the path with a heavy tread, and hailed it with a command to stop. The man stopped at some little distance, and Dane expected him to speak, but all he could hear was his deep breathing. Through a break in the flying clouds a sudden and fleeting brightness descended upon the clearing. Before the darkness closed in again, Dane saw a hand holding some glittering object extended towards him, heard Nina's cry of Aether. And in an instant the girl was between him and Almayer's revolver. Nina's loud cry woke up the echoes of the sleeping woods, and the three stood still, as if waiting for the return of silence, before they would give expression to their various feelings. At the appearance of Nina, Almayer's arm fell by his side, and he made a step forward. Dane pushed the girl gently aside. Am I a wild beast, that you should try to kill me suddenly, and in the dark, to an Almayer? Said Dane, breaking the strained silence. Throw some brushwood on the fire, he went on, speaking to Nina, while I watch my white friend, lest harm should come to you or to me, O delight of my heart. Almayer ground his teeth, and raised his arm again. With a quick bound Dane was at his side. There was a short scuffle, during which one chamber of the revolver went off harmlessly, then the weapon, wrenched out of Almayer's hand, whirled through the air, and fell in the bushes. The two men stood close together, breathing hard. The replenished fire threw out an unsteady circle of light, and shone on the terrified face of Nina, who looked at them with outstretched hands. Dane, she cried out warningly, Dane. He waved his hand towards her in a reassuring gesture, and, turning to Almayer, said with great courtesy, now we may talk, Tuan. It is easy to send out death, but can your wisdom recall the life? She might have been harmed, he continued, indicating Nina. Our hand shook much. For myself, I was not afraid. Nina, exclaimed Elmer, come to me at once. What is this sudden madness? What bewitched you? Come to your father, and together we shall try to forget this horrible nightmare. He opened his arms with the certitude of clasping her to his breast in another second. She did not move. As it dawned upon him that she did not mean to obey, he felt a deadly cold creep into his heart, and, pressing the palms of his hands to his temples, he looked down on the ground in mute despair. Dane took Nina by the arm, and led her towards her father. Speak to him in the language of his people, he said. He is grieving as who would not grieve at losing thee, my pearl. Speak to him the last words he shall hear spoken by that voice, which must be very sweet to him, but is all my life to me. He released her, and, stepping back a few paces out of the circle of light, stood in the darkness looking at them with calm interest. The reflection of a distant flash of lightning lit up the clouds over their heads, and was followed after a short interval by the faint rumble of thunder, which mingled with Almayer's voice as he began to speak. Do you know what you are doing? Do you know what is waiting for you, if you follow that man? Have you no pity for yourself? Do you know that you shall be at first his plaything, and then a scorned slave, a drudge, and a servant of some new fancy of that man? She raised her hand to stop him, and turning her head slightly, asked, You hear this, Dane? Is it true? By all the gods! Came the impassioned answer from the darkness, Why heaven and earth, by my head and thine I swear, this is a white man's lie. I have delivered my soul into your hands forever. I breathe with your breath, I see with your eyes, I think with your mind, and I take you into my heart forever. You thief! Shouted the exasperated Elmayer. A deep silence succeeded this outburst, then the voice of Dane was heard again. Nay, Tuan, he said in a gentle tone, that is not true also. The girl came of her own will. I have done no more, but to show her my love like a man. She heard the cry of my heart, and she came, and the dowry I have given to the woman you call your wife. Almayer groaned in his extremity of rage and shame. Nina laid her hand lightly on his shoulder, and the contact, light as the touch of a falling leaf, seemed to calm him. He spoke quickly, and in English this time. Tell me, he said, Elmi, what have they done to you, your mother and that man? What made you give yourself up to that savage? For he is a savage. Between him and you there is a barrier that nothing can remove. I can see in your eyes the look of those who commit suicide when they are mad. You are mad. Don't smile. It breaks my heart. If I were to see you drowning before my eyes, and I without the power to help you, I could not suffer a greater torment. Have you forgotten the teaching of so many years? No, she interrupted, I remember it well. I remember how it ended also. Scorn for scorn, contempt for contempt, hate for hate. I am not of your race. Between your people and me there is also a barrier that nothing can remove. You ask why I want to go, and I ask you why I should stay. He staggered as if struck in the face, but with a quick unhesitating grasp she caught him by the arm and steadied him. Why you should stay, he repeated slowly, in a dazed manner, and stopped short, astounded at the completeness of his misfortune. You told me yesterday, she went on again, that I could not understand or see your love for me. It is so. How can I? No two human beings understand each other. They can understand, but their own voices. You wanted me to dream your dreams. To see your own visions, the visions of life amongst the white faces of those who cast me out from their midst in angry contempt. But while you spoke, I listened to the voice of my own self. Then this man came, and all was still, there was only the murmur of his love. You call him a savage. What do you call my mother, your wife? Nina, cried Almayer, take your eyes off my face. She looked down directly, but continued speaking only a little above a whisper. In time, she went on, both our voices, that man's and mine, spoke together in a sweetness that was intelligible to our ears only. You were speaking of gold then, but our ears were filled with the song of our love, and we did not hear you. Then I found that we could see through each other's eyes. That he saw things that nobody but myself and he could see. We entered a land where no one could follow us, and least of all you. Then I began to live. She paused. Almayer sighed deeply. With her eyes still fixed on the ground, she began speaking again. And I mean to live. I mean to follow him. I have been rejected with scorn by the white people, and now I am a Malay. He took me in his arms, he laid his life at my feet. He is brave, he will be powerful, and I hold his bravery and his strength in my hand, and I shall make him great. His name shall be remembered long after both our bodies are laid in the dust. I love you no less than I did before, but I shall never leave him, for without him I cannot live. If he understood what you have said, answered Almayer, scornfully, he must be highly flattered. You want him as a tool for some incomprehensible ambition of yours. Enough, Nina. If you do not go down at once to the creek, where Ally is waiting with my canoe, I shall tell him to return to the settlement and bring the Dutch officers here. You cannot escape from this clearing, for I have cast adrift your canoe. If the Dutch catch this hero of yours, they will hang him as sure as I stand here. Now go. He made a step towards his daughter, and laid hold of her by the shoulder, his other hand pointing down the path to the landing place. Beware! Exclaimed Dane. This woman belongs to me. Nina wrenched herself free and looked straight at Almayer's angry face. No, I will not go, she said with desperate energy. If he dies, I shall die too. You die, said Almayer, contemptuously. No. You shall live a life of lies and deception till some other vagabond comes along to sing. How did you say that? The song of love to you. Make up your mind quickly. He waited for a while, and then added meaningly, shall I call out to Ali? Call out, she answered in Malay, you that cannot be true to your own countrymen. Only a few days ago you were selling the powder for their destruction. Now you want to give up to them the man that yesterday you called your friend. Oh, Dane, she said, turning towards the motionless but attentive figure in the darkness, instead of bringing you life I bring you death, for he will betray unless I leave you forever. Dane came into the circle of light, and, throwing his arm around Nina's neck, whispered in her ear, can kill him where he stands, before a sound can pass his lips. For you it is to say yes or no. Babalich, I cannot be far now. He straightened himself up, taking his arm off her shoulder, and confronted Almayer, who looked at them both with an expression of concentrated fury. No, she cried, clinging to Dane in wild alarm. Oh! Kill me! Then perhaps he will let you go. You do not know the mind of a white man. He would rather see me dead than standing where I am. Forgive me, your slave, but you must not. She fell at his feet sobbing violently and repeating, kill me! Kill me! I want you alive, said Almayer, speaking also in Malay, with somber calmness. Ugo, or he hangs. Will you obey? Dane shook Nina off, and, making a sudden lunge, struck Almayer full in the chest with the handle of his kris, keeping the point towards himself. Hi, look. It was easy for me to turn the point the other way, he said in his even voice. Oh, to impute it, he added with dignity. Give you your life, my life, and her life. I am the slave of this woman's desire, and she wills it so. There was not a glimmer of light in the sky now, and the tops of the trees were as invisible as their trunks, being lost in the mass of clouds that hung low over the woods, the clearing, and the river. Every outline had disappeared in the intense blackness that seemed to have destroyed everything but space. Only the fire glimmered like a star forgotten in this annihilation of all visible things, and nothing was heard after Dane ceased speaking, but the sobs of Nina, whom he held in his arms, kneeling beside the fire. Almayer stood looking down at them in gloomy thoughtfulness. As he was opening his lips to speak, they were startled by a cry of warning by the riverside, followed by the splash of many paddles and the sound of voices. "Babalatchi!" shouted Dane, lifting up Nina as he got upon his feet quickly. "Ada! Ada!" came the answer from the panting statesman who ran up the path and stood amongst them. "Unto my canoe," he said to Dane excitedly, without taking any notice of Elmer. "Un, we must go. That woman has told them all." "What woman?" asked Dane, looking at Nina. Just then there was only one woman in the whole world for him. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.